This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
You're listening to Geeks Out on Joy 94.9 with Trance and Jake. Today we're speaking with the very talented filmmakers behind the crime thriller Kin, Jonathan and Josh Baker. Hi, and thank you for joining us today.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hi. So this is your first feature film directorial debut, Kin. It's based off the acclaimed short film Bagman, which was nominated for the SXSW. A lot of really tricky letters right there. Grand Jury Award. Can you tell us a bit more about how the story transitioned from Bagman into Kin?
Yeah, so this is Josh Baker. I'm one of the twins. Back in 2014, I think it was, we put this short film together, Bagman. And we've been making ads for quite a while over here in the States. And so we just kind of needed something on the side just to have as a side project, something to invest our time and our passion into. And that became Bagman, using all the favors that we'd had from, you know, basically 10 years in New York. And so as we were putting it together, we decided this is probably going to get some attention. Someone's probably going to ask what the longer version is. We probably look like idiots if we don't have an answer. So while we were doing some visual effects on it, we really kind of buckled down and figured out what the longer story would be, and frankly just put it on the shelf until we were asked. Once it came out, it got into South by Southwest. There was a decent amount of heat on it in town, and we ended up doing a bunch of meetings, and everybody asked the same question: what's the longer version?
I mean, it clearly transitioned really well, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. So the longer version was definitely something everyone wanted to see, and I can't thank you enough for making a longer version of it.
how did the actual idea for Bagman develop, with like the storyline?
That's a long story, actually. we were living in New York.
That'll be our entire time.
It's longer than 15 minutes, the film was. No, we were living in New York at the time, and we wanted to actually explore a story about a young boy in the Congo in Africa, and we wanted to give him some powers of some kind that were maybe telekinetic and something that felt like the origin film of a superhero film. And this was a 2012, maybe?
Yeah.
Something around there. And we actually went as far as looking at how much that would cost and looking at casting in Nigeria and South Africa and a bunch of places. And we ended up just feeling like this is too hard, this is going to be expensive, too dangerous, too long, too everything. And why don't we just bring it home to New York and instead let's keep a protagonist character that is African-American, let's put him in Harlem, let's change his powers to finding something outrageous like a giant sci-fi ray gun. And I guess the whole story came from this Sword in the Stone fable concept with King Arthur, of just having a kid that is the only one that can wield something super powerful. And that's kind of the core idea that stuck around for Bagman, and it's the core idea that we moved over into Kin.
Okay. One of the things about Kin was the interesting cast and the phenomenal cast that you got for it. When it came to casting for Kin, like the final cast, were they the people that you had actually imagined in the roles when you had written, when that script had come to you?
The one thing that we were told early on is try not to imagine an actor while you're developing a screenplay, because it'll only break your heart later. So there was quite a few that we were picturing.
Zoe Kravitz is an example of someone that we literally wrote it for, and she's amazing in it.
But a lot of the other actors, you know, availability and things like that, it just doesn't work out the way you have planned, so you have to keep an open mind. I gotta say, casting for a Hollywood film at a certain level becomes really frustrating, because you're going out to an actor one at a time. Because really, you're not auditioning for these major roles. You're going out to an actor and asking for a yes or no. And so for all of them, pretty much, it's very time consuming. And if you get a no, you know, a month later, you've just wasted a month. So We were very lucky that Zoe, who was our number one from day one, said yes to us.
I mean, I think the cast was phenomenal. It was definitely one of those well-knit casts where you could tell that there was chemistry between the actors, like particularly the brothers.
Good. I mean, at its heart, the brother dynamic between Eli and Jimmy and Miles Truitt and Jack Rayner playing those roles was super important. I mean, the whole film really depends on that dynamic. And, you know, Jimmy takes him on such a bad road. You need to feel like that character is redeemable as well at the end of the film. And that was a really challenging juggling act for Jack as an actor, to do some pretty terrible things and lead his kid down a pretty bad path for such an innocent 14-year-old. And then at the end, really walk away knowing that at his heart, you know, he loves this kid.
Just focusing more on that brotherhood aspect, considering the fact that it's also a science fiction film, how do you balance the brotherhood relationship and developing that as well as developing the underlying sci-fi story? So Eli finding this weapon, what is it? What is it about? Where did it come from? That sort of stuff. Especially with the special effects as well. How do you balance the visual, the story? It's going to be a challenging thing to do.
I think, well, it's an interesting question, man, because we're dealing with a lot of different paths through this film. And, you know, in the edit especially, both you've got kind of got two shots at it, screenplay and then in the edit. And you're balancing how much do you give each one of these storylines. Mm. You know, we've got quite a few characters. You've got these guys we're calling the cleaners that are tracking after them the entire time. How often do you see them? How often do you need to remind the audience that they're still there and they're still coming after them. Same goes for James Franco's bad guy character. Same goes for the kid's thread with the weapon. It was very much done on purpose that we didn't fire the weapon until the second act. And so you kind of wind this thing up, you know, almost like you cock the gun in the first act and then you fire it in the second. And that was a really difficult thing to try to get right, because you want the kid playing around with it and discovering it in the first act, and then we want the audience to kind of be begging for it by the time it actually goes off.
Yeah, I mean, look, I definitely was keen to see it fire, so quite happy when
you
it
audibly
did.
Squealed when it fired.
Yeah, I kind of did. Just a little bit.
We had a squeal, John.
You did well.
Like, no, I squealed, crunched my knees up and went, oh my, and it was quite good. So it was very keen.
That is literally what we're after.
I'm glad I could satisfy.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course you are twin brothers yourselves. Did you take any elements from your own relationship and put it into Eli and Jimmy's relationship? Or was it sort of a more organic to them relationship, so none of your own aspects?
You know, I think what we wanted to take from our childhood was a sense of adventure, and we often sort of had fun exploring abandoned spaces and things like that, you know, factories and under bridges and, you know, all of those kind of things on our BMX. So, you know, that very nostalgic 80s iconography of just a solo kid wandering around and exploring. I mean, that is something that we lived, and we lived it together. And so I think the beginning of this film, what Bagman had at its heart, and also at the beginning of Kin, really was a way to sort of get that on film and put it in one of the more explored places in America, which is urban Detroit.
Speaking of urban Detroit, I was actually going to say one of the things that I really liked about the opening of Kin was the focus on Detroit's urban landscape, because it is a landscape that has suffered a lot of economic downfall and is a very interesting landscape for urban explorers, with its derelict buildings and derelict factories and so forth. Was that something that you had wanted to focus on particularly, or was that a different choice by someone else?
No, that was us. I mean, one thing we decided early on was Bagman was set in New York because we were in New York. But then when we could open the story up and go a different way, we kind of had to discover what the theme of the movie was really about. And we decided pretty quickly that it was about decay. and decay of, you know, human characters in this film, relationships, family dynamics, but then also just location. And so quite quickly with our production designer and even just before that when we were writing the screenplay, we decided that Detroit would make a lot of sense for that. We were trying to find a writer for this, and we were interviewing a bunch of different people here in LA. And there was this one guy, Daniel Casey, who halfway through the meeting was like, you know, I'm from Detroit and grew up in Detroit, right? And we were like, no, but you have the gig, my friend.
I was so just going to say.
Daniel brought a lot of his upbringing and the type of exploring that he did as
local
a kid.
Knowledge.
And yeah, local knowledge into the story. It's actually set in a little part of Detroit called Hamtramck, which is just north of Polktown, which is a lot of that abandoned factories and stuff like that. So it's all very realistic that the kid would, you know, he lives as a part of a Polish family and then could get on his BMX and travel down to an abandoned factory.
I love that you've basically just answered my follow-up question about the choice of writer influencing that Detroit background and so forth, so it's very candy. Basically, that just means, you know, me asking what's next for the Baker brothers, and can we look forward to more Detroit backgrounds or anything more sci-fi or crime thriller based from both of you?
Well, yeah, like we kind of mentioned before, Ken was a selfish endeavor. It was like, let's, you know, this is our first movie, it's going to be around forever. You know, film is eternal, and so that number one on IMDb, let's make sure it's very personal to us and make sure that it touches on a lot of things that we love with cinema. And so that's why we crammed in crime drama and crammed in you know, road trip and all of these fun different elements and made the one sort of unique story out of it. Going forward, you know, we love a lot of different styles of stories, and I don't think we want to get boxed in anything. We love projects that are a little harder to define, and so hopefully the next thing we work on, whether TV or whether film, is something that's also hard to put your finger on.
Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, you definitely made your first mark a hit, I can tell you that.
We've very much enjoyed it.
Oh man, I hope so. I will quote you on that.
Well, it's a hit with me.
You got a squeal and you got a happy audience.
Love it. Thanks, guys. Well, very much appreciate it. We've got less than a month to go before this thing drops, so fingers crossed.
I will be seeing it again multiple times, taking all my friends.
You're the best.
Thank you so much
for
having time to talk to us.
We appreciate your time, and you know, thanks for chatting.
No worries. No. If there's anything else coming up, please keep us informed, because we are very much looking forward to seeing this, how this has reactions to it.
Awesome. You guys are legends. All right, take it easy.
See ya. Thanks.
Have a good one.
Bye.
And thank you again to Jonathan and Josh Baker for talking to us about Kin. Kin is out in theaters from August 30th. That is this coming Thursday. Make sure you go see it. I know I'm going to go again.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation. Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.